So great to be here. So great to have you here at our 8 a.m. and as we continue our series on Follow Me, who's been enjoying this series, looking into Jesus and this challenge of what does it mean to actually be a Christian, to actually follow Jesus. And I know that last week, the message was a really challenging one. We talked about loving our enemies. Anyone do that this week? None of you could. Okay. Some of you don't have any enemies. You went and made one just so you could love them back, right? Go and slash someone's tires and say, I'm sorry, I love you. But it's interesting, this messages that come from Jesus, the things that we learn. And I've, over the last few weeks, if you didn't hear last week's message, go and listen to the podcast in the last couple of weeks. We're talking about the early disciples, those early followers of Jesus, and how they didn't just follow Jesus. They looked, they learned, they listened. And after a period of time, they actually got what Jesus was all about, and they were able to actually follow him. And this week, my challenge, and this, if I get anything across today, this week, my challenge to us all today is that we'll all walk away with a childlike wonder for Jesus again. A childlike wonder for Jesus again. You know, you've ever seen a kid that looks at bubbles for the first time, and they're just like, wow. And you're like, this is the cheapest thing ever, right? Or a balloon, and they gets popped, they burst into tears, you're like, there's more out there, right? But the thing is, childlike wonder of following Jesus. You ever met someone who they've just come to know Christ and everything's amazing? Man, those people, everything's amazing. They see God in everything and it's mind-blowing, and it's just like you want to be around those people because they're so passionate. I love hanging out with new Christians because of that. They're just amazed. They're wowed at everything God has done for them. And I also just love that so simple it is. It's just like childlike faith. It's like, man, God's so good. And I want to look at one of the disciples that sort of had this childlike faith right from the beginning. And he's probably my favorite disciple in the Bible. I don't know if you can have favorites, but he's one of my favorites because he has this childlike faith. And I want to open to this. It is actually in John 1, 44. This is actually after Jesus has called the first four disciples, the fishermen, and then it says, now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. They've already been called. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? All right. Now, you've got to actually picture this. I want you to picture this a little bit differently, okay? Because we've heard that, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What you've got to understand is Nathanael was probably about 13 years of age. 13 years of age. All the disciples, in fact, there was probably only two disciples over the age of 20, if you didn't know that. And we know that because there's a moment where Jesus pays the temple tax for only a couple. And the temple tax was only ever paid for those over 20. So Nathanael was probably one of the youngest disciples. He could have been about 13 or 14, and he is cheeky. And he throws back, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You can picture your teenage son right now having a bit of a crack, Philip said to him. And then, that's what Nathanael says to him. And then Philip says, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, behold, an Israelite indeed, whom there is no deceit. All right, can you now picture this? Nathanael's made a crack about those in Nazareth. And Jesus is now, he knows what he said. He goes, there's a man with no deceit. He's having a laugh with him. Can you picture it? He's having a bit of a joke with him. There's no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree. Do you believe? Can you see this? And he goes, you'll see greater things than that. You'll see greater things than these. I love it because Jesus is like, what? Because I said I saw you under a tree. You've gone Messiah, right? Like you can see this cheeky exchange between Jesus and a young boy who's now going to follow Jesus. I love Nathanael's childlike faith. You know, he's cheeky, he's following Philip, he rocks up, there's Jesus. Jesus says, I saw you under a tree, and he's like, wow. Childlike faith. You know, the truth is, though, a fresh revelation or a new meeting with Jesus always leaves us amazed. I don't know if you remember that fresh revelation of Jesus' love, forgiveness, and sacrifice. There's nothing like it. Maybe you've been a Christian for a really long time, but there is nothing like it. You know, just this week, I was hanging out with a real estate agent here in town, and he came to faith about 5 years ago, and he started sharing his story. His testimony was amazing, and he lit up like a Christmas tree with joy, talking about how God saved him. How God saved him. And it was just childlike faith, everything. He's one of those people, and I saw it. He just stops people and says, "Can I pray for you? God loves you." And I'm like, oh my gosh, 5 years into your faith walk and you're still like a child. You still have that joy in your heart because you know what Jesus did for you. And I hope that today you walk away with the joy of a child again when it comes to your faith. You know, childlike faith has been replaced with knowledge. The awe and wonder of God has been replaced by rules and regulation to achieve some kind of man-made idea of holiness. And I want to show us a passage of Scripture where we can observe the power of the joy of children. And I want to open up to Matthew 21, 14 to 17 and read you a passage that maybe you've never read before, because we can skip over this passage. It says this: "The blind and lame man came to him at the temple." That's Jesus. He's at the temple. "And he healed them." Jesus is healing people, the blind and the lame. "But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they were indignant." They were angry. They were frustrated at what was going on in the temple. And they say to Jesus, "Do you hear what the children are saying?" Jesus replied, "Yes. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, 'You, Lord, have called forth your praise'?" And he left them and went out into the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. It's a little passage, one that gets overlooked heaps. In fact, you can just miss this when you're reading your Bible, because it just seems like really kind of like, oh, whatever, move on. But you've got to understand what's happened in this passage. Just before this moment where he's healing the lame and the sick and all these people in the temple, just before he had entered into the temple and he'd flipped tables. Remember that story where Jesus rocks in and goes, "You've turned my house into a den of thieves"? You know, he flips tables. He actually made a whip and went around the temple. So Jesus has now done that. And it says straight after that, it says the blind and the lame came to him at the temple. You can now tell that the priests and the scribes, they don't want to get in Jesus' way, okay? So he gets to do what he wants. He's still probably got a whip in his hand, okay? But what's fascinating in the verse prior to this, in verse 13, it says this. This is what Jesus said when he flipped tables and he told those in the temple what the temple was for. He says, "It is written, 'My house will be a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of thieves." Do you see what Jesus has just done? He's just stop for a moment. What he's actually done, he's just reestablished what the temple's for. He goes, "This is a place, a house of prayer," and then he starts praying and people get healed. Like, he didn't just say, "This is what it's for." He goes, "This place is to be a house of prayer, bring the lame." And he starts healing. And there's this amazing thing going on in the temple. He starts healing, and there's two groups of people that are mentioned in this scripture. Two groups of people, while he's healing the lame, doing his thing, who are the two people? Two lots of people. The chief priests and the scribes, and children. And children. What's incredible is that these kids start losing it as they watch Jesus do miracles. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine your kids getting really loud and excited about Jesus, okay? Because there's like a lame person's now walking. And they start declaring, like these kids start yelling out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David." Picture it. Hosanna to the Son of David. In fact, if you don't know what Hosanna means, it means praise or joy. Like, there was this eruption going on in the temple, this absolute crazy moment, and the kids are calling out, "He's the Son of David." Not only are they crazy in their loudness, they are declaring that Jesus is the Messiah in front of the scribes and priests. They get it. The kids have a revelation of who Jesus is, and the priests and scribes who should know who he is, what do? They get indignant, they get angry. Shut up! They want him to be quiet. They want the kids to shut up. You ever seen a kid do that? Ever had your kids say something they shouldn't? Out loud, leaving you embarrassed? Because kids just call out what they see. I remember being in a shopping centre years ago and literally having this moment with, I was at the cash register and this mum was with her kid. And the kid points at this dude that has long hair and he's like, Mum, why does that girl have a beard? Right? And and you can just see this poor mother going, oh, shut up. And this dude with long hair is like looking around. I wish he went, hello. Right, I wish he did that. But he didn't. But you know, these kids do it, hey. They call out all sorts of stuff. You can't stop kids from calling out what they see. Jesus starts doing healings and they go, Hosanna, Hosanna, the Son of David. You know, what they're actually quoting in this moment is actually a passage of scripture that I'm going to get to in a second. But what's really beautiful is that the priests are like, do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus just simply replies, he looks at them, he goes, have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? And he left them, went out into the city of Bethany. What he does in this moment, what Jesus actually says to these priests and scribes, he's actually saying, you've been waiting for this moment. It was a drop mic moment. Like, it was literally like, yep, exactly. They called out my praise. Didn't you know about this? And he actually says, haven't you heard this? And what he's actually quoting, this is the best part of it. In fact, what I love about God too, as he speaks through the word, he spoke to me through the word this week, all right? Only last Sunday night, we're doing the prayer course here that we've been doing on Sunday nights. And we opened to this passage in Psalm 8, and I read a verse of scripture I've never read before. And it was part of the course. And in our conversation of our table, I said, I have no idea what that means. And then it just happens as I start unpacking this passage, God reveals to me what it is, okay? What Jesus is actually doing, he's quoting Psalm 8:2, the verse I discovered last Sunday night. Really powerful. Psalm 8 verse 2 simply says this. It says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. What I also love is that King David wrote this. And they're like, Hosanna, the Son of David. And then they start calling out, and this is exactly what happens in the temple in this moment. Exactly what the prophetic word says. Through the praise of children, because they're like, we're not going to stop calling out Jesus, who he is. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold. He established what the kingdom and what the temple was all about in that moment, right? He starts praying. This should be known as a house of prayer, starts praying. He reestablishes the temple and creates a stronghold in that moment. You have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. We hear no more words from the priests and the scribes. They're shut up. They've been silenced. The praise of children establishes strongholds against enemies. These children have faith beyond their years and understanding. There was no doubt in their mind that Jesus was who he said he was. Childlike faith had shut down the religious order. These kids didn't know the Torah back to front. They didn't know, you know, all the ins and outs of Jewish law. But what they did know was that they were in the presence of God himself. They saw Jesus do miracles and started shouting and declaring, Hosanna, praise to the Son of David. Jesus is the Messiah. Wow. There is something powerful about a child's ability to be in tune with the things of God. You know, and Jesus calls us all to be more like those children in the temple. He calls us to sing his praises He calls us to sing his praises. To follow Jesus is to have faith like a child. It's such an interesting thing, isn't it? It's kind of counterintuitive. It's a bit of a weird thought when Jesus says you need to be like kids. It's a bit weird. Because in our human nature, we want to grow in wisdom and leave our childish ways behind. Well. Except Kez. We want to gain greater status in society. We want to earn more money. We want to know more than others to become great in this world. But Jesus constantly calls us back to be like children, to have a childlike wonder towards the things of God. Even the disciples were falling into the same trap as the priests and scribes. As we see their journey, as Jesus grows in popularity, we can see as he performs his miracles, they start discussing a little conversation. Have this little conversation. Little conversation in Matthew 18. And the conversation is all about who's going to be the greatest of us. Like, we're with Jesus, we know things are going really well. So which one do you reckon is going to be the greatest? And maybe, you know, Nathaniel's pointing at someone going, not you, you're from Nazareth, right? Like, you know, there's this sort of conversation that stirs up. There's a moment, a bit of arrogance gets into the hearts of the disciples and Jesus puts them in their place. Matthew 18 says, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. He says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. You know, what did Jesus mean by this? Like, sometimes we can go, did Jesus mean we all need to be like Peter Pan? Never grow up, Kez, listen, okay? Absolutely not. In fact, in Corinthians, we learn, the writer writes, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. So you're going to go, well, does that contradict Jesus saying you need to be like a child? No, that's human maturity. What Jesus is saying, though, as your human maturity strengthens, don't lose your childlike heart towards the things of God. He was showing this, we need to stay humble, to be reliant on God like a child is reliant on a parent. We need to have childlike faith. Jesus was calling us all to a heart posture that was fully dependent on their heavenly Father. To have the wonder of a child when it came to the things of God. To have the joy of those children in the temple and not be embarrassed by declaring who God is when you're in his presence. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you declared God's goodness in your workplace without being embarrassed? Like, you actually were around non-Christian and you go, man, I'm so stoked. God is so good. And they go, what? You actually bring up the conversation what God's doing in your life. Because you're not embarrassed. Because you have childlike faith. You just declare it. Call it out. You know, there's no doubt in my mind that as we get older, the voice of God who is constantly speaking can be drowned out by the noise of people's opinions of us. God's voice can be squashed to avoid potential embarrassment. And our faith in God as a good father can be replaced by our faith in our own ability to provide. We all know it. The older we get, we start making the decision, calling the shots, start finding ways to provide, and we lose sight of what God can do for us. But Jesus challenges us to return to childlike faith in God. You know, it's easy to see why Jesus was calling his disciples back to be like children. Here they were arguing about who was going to be most powerful in the kingdom. And Jesus is really wanting to point out your attitudes and heart are in the wrong place. You need to humble yourselves again and put your faith in God, not your own ability. There's a beautiful passage in Scripture just after this. This is like one chapter after he says the greatest are going to be kids. What I've said time and time again is Jesus doesn't just say things, he actually acts on it. And he wants to show us. He's like, if you want to follow me, I'm going to show you. I mean this, right? So one chapter on in Matthew 19, for the second time in two chapters, the disciples are being a bit slow again. Jesus has to highlight how important kids are. Chapter 18, he said, kids are the most important in the kingdom. One chapter on, there's a crowd of people. And Jesus is speaking, and it says this, "Then the people brought their little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them, but the disciples rebuked them." So in chapter 18, they're not listening. Because if they got it in chapter 18, they would have gone, "Oh, the kids are coming, they're the most important in the kingdom, give them a front row seat." But instead, they rebuked them. And then Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed hands on them and prayed for them, he went on from there. You've got to understand this. Jesus doesn't just say it. He does something else. He actually makes sure he prays for every kid before he leaves. We don't know how many kids were there. It could have been half a day, but he doesn't stop. He wants to drive home the point how important children are to him. Yes, the adults in the crowd were important, but I actually think that maybe his teaching was hitting harder on the hearts of the kids. Because the kids, they didn't have years of cynicism, doubts, religious practices in their way. They just had a front row seat with the creator of the universe, Jesus. They had a clear line to the revelation of who he was. We can learn so much from kids with their ability to trust in God. You know, I want to challenge us to not overlook the faith of children. We have an incredible kids ministry up there. The reason we put aside this kids ministry is because we want them to grow in their faith. We want them to start praying. I love that they're learning their scriptures. This is what it's all about. If you want to know what it's like to be in the presence of someone that has a direct line to God, go and serve in kids. Truthfully, sometimes we think that this is more important. Big people, church, see ya, kids, right? But up there, mate, direct line to God. I've discovered over the years that the prayers of children are powerful. Man, I remember years ago, I was babysitting my niece. She was about 3 years of age. She had kind of broken speech, maybe two or three. And my brother and his wife were about to head out for dinner. I was going to babysit Uncle Az, Uncle Smarty, whatever you want to call me. And we did prayer time before bedtime. And I remember going into her room, her name's Sally, and sitting down with Sally and say, "You want to say prayers?" And she was mumbling something in another language, but she kind of could break out a couple of words. She goes, "Yeah, pray for prayer. Pray for prayer." And I'm like, "Yes, Sally, we'll do prayers. What do you want to pray for?" "Pray for prayer." And I'm going, "Okay, all right, okay. I need an interpreter," right? So after a few times, I go out to my brother who's not left yet. I said, "Sally's, we're trying to do prayers. She keeps saying, pray for prayer." And she's actually got quite a conviction. Like, she sat up, "Pray for prayer," you know? And so my brother goes, "Oh, pray for Claire. It's her little buddy who's got a hole in her heart at the moment. And we've been praying each night that God would heal Claire." And I was like, yeah, I was like, "Oh." So I walk in and go, "You want to pray for prayer?" "Yes." "Okay, right." So pray for Claire. And I said, "You want to pray?" And she shut her eyes and she mumbled a few things. "Pray for prayer. Amen." Good times. And I left it. I just thought, how cute, right? But what was fascinating, a few weeks later, I remember going to my brother's house and it was prayer time again. And I was reminded of the little girl, Claire. And I go, "Hey, whatever happened to that little girl, Claire, that had the hole in her heart?" And he goes, "Oh, it's a miracle. They didn't have to do surgery. It just healed over." What? Pray for prayer. Prayer of kids. Man, it was the joy of children that shut up the scribes, shut up the priests, reestablished the temple. "Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger." Teach your kids to pray. It was super cute, that moment, but it was super powerful as well. What's really fascinating, actually, the moment where all this goes down in the temple, it's two chapters after Jesus rebukes the disciples for not letting the kids come. So it's actually a building story. Kids are the most important in the kingdom. They're like, "No, they're not." And then he's like, "Let the kids come to me." And then the next time that kids are in the temple, do you see the disciples rebuking them? No. They're declaring who Jesus is. Pretty powerful stuff. I had another moment. I just want to highlight how much God loves kids and he wants us to have the same childlike faith. of this little boy that I met. I've got a photo. Do we have that photo, Danny? Did you get the photo? As you get over the fact that I had dreadlocks. Who went woo-woo? Like, we have a hippie in our presence. Okay. So this photo was taken in 2008. I was in Dominican Republic. I was on a missions trip. And we went to this beach. And this little boy who's standing next to me, his name is Carlito, or little Carlos. And we met him because he was shining shoes. And I reckon he would have been all of 7 or 8 maybe. Maybe younger, like he was very little. And he was out there shining shoes, very dehydrated. And I had this little box and he was shining. And we started chatting with him. I was actually working with Compassion at the time. They help kids all over the world. And we started chatting to him. We're like, what are you doing? And he said, I'm making money. I have to make money for the children. Huh? He was out working that day so he could look after the younger children at home, right? And so we were pretty moved by this kid's story. And he was really dehydrated. So we got him some water. And then we worked with the team. We ended up able to go into a shop and buying a big bag of groceries for him to take home to his family. And we're talking to him. And he was just like a grown-up man. He was like, I'm here to help the kids, you know. Mom told me to go and earn some money for the children. So anyway, our guide at the time, our team leader, he asked Carlito, where do you live? And he tells us about this area he lives, and it's like the most notorious gang area in that city. Like, it's like horrendous. And so we're like, okay, we can't actually take him back home. So we're like, we'll give you a lift home. And it's the hardest thing in that time is you don't want to give kids lifts because you don't want them to trust people giving lifts. But then at times, so we're trying to explain, don't do this, but we also want to give you a lift home. So it's just a really tough situation for kids like this. But he got in our bus and we were like going to take him back to where he came from until he told us where he came from. And we realized we can't go there. We'll get shot. Like, it's very dangerous. So we take him to a bus station. And on the way to the bus station, we're having chats with Carlito, asking about its life. And we're like, about friends and things like that. And then something came up. Someone said, do you go to church? He goes, yes. It's a very Catholic nation. Yes, I go to church. And we're like, oh, right. And so for the next 5 minutes, I think everyone on the team was trying to get to the bottom of why he went to church. Because we were like, does grandma go to church? No. Does mom go to church? No. Does dad go to church? No. Do you have friends from school that go to church? No. And so, and as we're asking these questions, this kid is getting more and more irritated by our annoying questions, right? And then finally, one of the team goes, Carlito, why do you go to church then? And he literally looks us in the face. He goes, God speaks to me there. And we are floored. And he says, God speaks to me there. I love to hear God speak to me. That's why I go. And we're like, oh my gosh, who are we? We're dropping him off and sending him home with his big bag, bigger than him, backpack on his back, and put him on a bus. We actually talked to the bus driver, said, do you know this kid? He goes, yeah, he comes from that suburb, like gang. He said, you can't go there, you'll get shot. So I'll take him in, I know the people. Faith like a child. Imagine if you had that faith every Sunday. Why do you go to church? No, it's not for community, not for great coffee. Not because I want to see my friends. God speaks to me there. It's my only reason. Because I believe, I've got faith in my heart like a kid that says, God loves me, wants to speak to me, and I can rely on him like a good father. How do we follow Jesus? We have to have faith like a child. We have to have, you know, faith like a child, like Carlito. Be expecting that God wants to speak to us. Faith that God will provide no matter what. Questions for you this week. Do you have the wonder and joy when it comes to your faith, the same as those kids that yelled out Hosanna to the Son of David? Are you embarrassed about calling out who he is? Or are you like, I don't care because I know how good you are? Finally, I want to give you a little tip. If you've got kids, if you want to see breakthrough in your life, ask your kids to pray. Ask your kids to pray. man, sure, sometimes I'll pray that a dinosaur or something happens and a plastic dinosaur is found or something, you know. But in amongst all that, there's a direct line to God. It's the reason the devil wants our kids. Man, because it's the prayers, the praises of children and infants that have established a stronghold to silence the foe and the avenger. The prayers of kids shut up the devil, stop him in his tracks. Let's have faith like a child. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you taught us that for us to inherit the kingdom, we have to become like kids, like children. Have childlike faith just to trust in you again. God, I thank you that you love us. You know, last week we talked about loving our enemies, and at a life group I was at on the week last week, we're discussing this, and it was like a revelation that hit. The way we love our enemies is allowing God to be God, be a dad, and look after the discipline and do all of the judging, because God's a good judge, he's a good father, he knows what to do, and sometimes we want to be the parent and we want to do all the judging and bring out all the wrath and all that sort of stuff, but God's like, no, let me do it. I'm the parent, I'm a good dad, I'm a good judge, and I'm a just parent. So let me deal with your enemies. God, I pray that we'll just give you back your authority over our life. God, I pray that we will really understand what it means to have a joy again in our faith. Faith like a child.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.